Welcome to The Leverage Point,
a podcast about your development and performance at work.
Improvement doesn't have to be hard
or boring. This podcast is a pragmatist's guide to growth, achievement and success.
Discover your leverage point. I'm Angela Lane.
And I'm Sergey Gorbatov. We're researchers and practitioners in the fields of talent, human performance and behavior.
And together with you, we'll translate science into leverage points.
So today we'll talk about the topic of what your boss needs to know before she goes into talent review. But before we jump in, what is a talent review?
That's a really good place actually for somebody to start, which is what is the boss trying to achieve? And then back into, and as a result, what do they need to know? So if a talent review is an enterprise process, typically enterprise process, with the goal of segmenting talent to identify performance and potential over the longer term in order to make differentiated investments, it starts to suggest what is your boss going to be needing to think about.
You mentioned differentiated investment. Does it mean that some employees will get less investment than others as an outcome of a talent review, correct?
Correct. And for the career-minded, and if you have goals that require some sort of investment from the company, you'll want to set your pre-conversation up to help your boss make that connection. That investment could be financial, an investment in a training program, supporting you go back to school. It could be, and perhaps is more likely to be, an investment in an experience. Sergey needs to, you know, take an international assignment. Sergey would benefit from a stint in executive compensation and so on.
It also could be an investment in, what should we call it? We can assign you a mentor. We can assign you a coach. It's an investment of company
stuff. Yeah.
Also can mean exposure, right? It's not an exposure, it's not necessarily an experience, but it as an outcome of a talent review.
Yes.
We might profile you to decision makers, those who would have a say on your career.
Fantastic. And a way of thinking about that, if you think about the career edge model, support in making you known and being known for the right things. So helping you be a better brand builder as a result of the segmentation that they've made. So what you want as an outcome, I'm just thinking aloud, but you either want support to be a better value creator and or support to be a better brand builder and or support to be an opportunity speaker.
What if you just want to stay where you are, right? And many companies use this tool, the 9-box grid, and typically you would have performance and potential on its axes.
Yeah.
And imagine that some people want to be in those boxes that would indicate high levels of performance and high levels of potential. But then being placed in one of those boxes comes with expectations and pressure. What if you don't want that, but you still want development?
I think the first thing is, you know, as a mature professional, that probably means you'll get less development than others. They are being prepared for other things, but it does mean you have to stake your claim, I think, to being high performing. I don't have potential, and let's talk later about what might potential mean, but I don't have potential in as much as I take myself out of the process of moving, but you're moving roles, but I am high performing and would benefit the organization, benefit the enterprise by being allowed to perform where I can contribute my skills and capabilities. It does beg the question, how honest should I be in my conversations with my leader about what my aspirations are, knowing that the risk is if I'm very transparent about, you know, what I'm not prepared to do, it will affect how my potential is evaluated. What do you think about honesty in talent review?
And I guess it goes beyond just talent review. It's about honesty and transparency with your superiors and colleagues about your career aspirations. Good check for ourselves, because we jumped straight away into value creator and brand builder and opportunity maker. But actually, we're
yes.
is and career visionary. Yeah. Who you are, what are your strengths, what do you value, what's your career vision, what are the pathways that will take you there, and what sacrifices you're willing and not willing. Yeah. And let's say that you have clarity on that. Now, how open should you be with your organization and with your boss? And here we can consider several scenarios.
Yeah.
One is, if you're ambitious and you're willing to make those sacrifices, I think you should be as transparent and maybe being even more overambitious for what you want. Mm-hmm. Imagine that you have an ambition to be a marketing director. I would say that there is no harm in signaling to the organization that you want to be a general manager, which is a step up.
Yep.
Several benefits of that. You will be getting that differentiated development if your claim is substantiated by high value creation today and in the future. Once you get to the position of marketing director, you might reevaluate your career path and say, hey, I do want to become a general manager. So no harm done.
Yeah.
And three, if you don't signal that you want to be a general manager, then you may not enter into those talent pools or cohorts or career paths. They have different names in different companies. So you would you might get deprioritized, or you won't get the exposure.
How I would see that set of that thought process is that what you're guiding us to do is to be very strategic in how we approach the question of transparency.
Absolutely.
So have a strategy that says, okay, if I'm ambitious, I have no limitations, I may over-signal what I think I would like to do, because there's no risk in that. I'm generally ambitious. It's not going to get me sent to some place that, you know, perhaps not good. If I'm ambitious, you know, perhaps with some limitations, I'm going to take a strategic approach to which of those I declare. You know, I may declare that I'm not prepared to travel, but I perhaps don't declare that I don't want to get beyond director. Mm.
But let's imagine that your ambition level is low. You mm-hmm. don't want to have an international career. You don't want to make the sacrifices that are associated with higher levels of leadership, but you do want to get
developed
investment,
yeah.
attention and love where you are. Then one of the strategies that you one might consider is to still declare a high level of ambition and declaring a limitation at the same point in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you go to a company with that limitation, particularly if it's of a personal nature and something that is true, lying is always a bad policy, but something yeah. that is true, that is, you need to care for an ailing parent. There is a health condition that you need to attend to, children in school. So by doing that, you're signaling both, yes, you do want to develop and you want to grow, and life happens.
Yeah. yeah.
So there are restrictions that that are in place. And depending on the policies in your company, you may or may not get what you're asking for, but at least yeah. you've done everything to mark those goalposts. You have done what you need to do.
So I would also add a couple of other considerations as you form that strategy. And remember, our strategy that we're kind of contemplating is around transparency. One is, as you strategize, be purposeful about thinking about what is our culture around ambition in a highly driven, competitive, internally competitive company. You've got to lean into that even more in a company that is perhaps more likely to react to what we would think of as, you know, people making bold demands. You're going to temper it back. So you're just going to have a little bit of thoughtfulness around culture. The other thing to contemplate, just as you form your messaging, so I think we're right about the messaging. I don't think the messaging changes per se, but as you form it, just a little bit of intentional reflection about what is the nature of my level of trust in my boss. And that if it is high, you're going to have the same conversation. You can perhaps be more open. I don't even know that I would, but I would go into it with confidence. If your trust in your boss is low, I think you're going to go in and have the same conversation. I think you're going to be very, very deliberate in things like your choice of words. You know, if I don't trust my boss, I'm not going to risk being quoted saying, look, I'm not mobile. I'd be saying to him, I'd need to make, you know, I'd need to consider carefully mobility. Just I'd be watching my words so that I had less chance of being misquoted. You also raised something really interesting about when we give reasons for our boundaries, we have boundaries. It may be school-aged children, elderly parents. How much of those do I disclose? Some people, again, may be trust-related, may choose to disclose the details of those boundaries and the reasons for them. I do think it's also okay, and people should practice this if they're going to go down this track, it's also okay to say, I'm not able to commit to, you know, insert whatever the commitment is at this time because there are personal considerations that don't let me do that. And, you know, don't feel that you need to be specific beyond what you're comfortable with. It's certainly helpful if you can, but being comfortable with the phrase, I have personal considerations, allows you to give yourself air cover because not everybody will value your personal considerations in the same way that you will. You know, and my personal consideration may be that I want to, you know, explore my cooking course, and some companies are not going to feel that that's as worthy a consideration, and they'll take a point of view about your ambition. So disclose where you can and feel comfortable, but also be prepared to talk about, you know, broad concepts, personal considerations, and have prepared an answer. Well, what sort of considerations? My preference is not to speak to the detail, but just to let you know that they are personal and they do make an impact on my choices.
And if you have low trust in your manager, are there any other strategies that you might consider on how to convey the information about your ambition and personal considerations up the ladder?
It's a great point. So one, I think we're saying we're going to be very well prepared in terms of how we position it, including in our choice of words. That lends itself to perhaps saying, you know, I've made a summary of, you know, some points I thought that I would share today and I'm going to give it to you. That might be a helpful strategy. Another helpful strategy may be to tell others that could be the boss's boss. I would, I'd be thoughtful about that from a cultural point of view. If it is common to have skip level meetings, if career conversations happen often in your organization, I think that's a great thing to do. If those things don't typically happen, you'll just need to be thoughtful. But, we should have said this earlier, who is in the room?
Who's in the room?
Review. Who's in the room?
Because you might have a good relationship with another leader who will be in the room. So you might have a conversation with them and you can always ask for half an hour and say, I would like to have a career conversation and I'm considering a couple of options. So would you, can I discuss my career plan with you? Definitely those talent reviews are run by somebody in the HR department. So you may want to talk to your talent manager or the HR business partner. That question, who's in the room, is
an important one. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we've asked, what do I want? What's the level of relationship with my manager? Who's in the room? And what is your ideal outcome from that conversation?
Yeah.
Because if you know the outcome, if you know what you're doing, let's imagine that you're angling for an international assignment, or you want to get into a prestigious leadership development program that your company is running.
Yeah.
Or you want to get into a talent pool to get corporate love and attention. Well, depending on what you want, your positioning will change and your messaging will change.
Maybe there is a structured way of thinking through. If we take that definition, off the top of our heads, definition of talent review, an enterprise process with the outcome of segmenting, based on performance and potential for the purpose of differentiated decisions. You want a differentiated decision. You may know what that is. We gave some examples earlier, a particular experience, a particular development opportunity, a particular mentor. If you start from that, what is the differentiated decision I want? Then what do I have to be able to say about my performance or potential that will help someone make that decision?
Okay, so and now we're getting into the content part.
Yeah, and you could actually map out that decision tree, so to speak. So, and I'm drawing it here, which is no help to anyone. But if you think about our career vision, right, and our career plan, so you back up from the vision, you've got your career plan. The question that you're asking is, okay, what is the investment I need to move me up the career plan, you know, line? And then, so, okay, the decision I need is I need to be on a VP succession plan. That's going to get me to VP course, but, you know, I'm going to need to be on that plan. Okay, what do I need to say about my performance? What do I need to say about potential? And if we think that potential has two aspects to it, what I'm able to do and what I want to do, you know, when somebody's assessing potential, they're looking at two things. Does this person have the ability? Will they realize greater growth in the future? And do they want to? So you have to be prepared to talk to performance, what I do today, my potential, what I'm able to do, and my willingness to do it.
Okay, so if we start with performance today, you need to help your manager understand the value that you're creating for the organization. All of us are doing lots of different things for different stakeholders. Our manager may not even be aware of the amount of work that it does. It's your manager must always know what you're doing and for whom and where. But just because we are all busy, we're running at 100 kilometers per hour, your manager may not realize the amount of value that you're creating for others. So getting aligned with your key stakeholders on what a wonderful job you're doing for them and packaging that and presenting to your manager is absolutely essential. Also because many of those stakeholders might be in that talent review.
So what I hear you say is you're going to talk one part of this conversation is performance. You're going to talk about what are your proof points around performance? What is the feedback that I'm getting from stakeholders? Maybe I have a 360 to confirm feedback from my direct report, but it is the proof points that I can make to attest to my performance. So question for you, what if there has been a challenge in relation to my performance? Because I can imagine one of the reasons I may be wanting to move on, do something different, because perhaps I'm an average performer. Perhaps I'm doing a good average job. But, you know, often the worst place to be in the talent review is the guy that's in the middle, you know, good, solid performer, okay, potential, and everyone else is going to get action. So if there's a challenge with those proof points, any suggestions?
So first, it's important to understand what's the nature of the challenge. There is misalignment between your strengths and the job that you're doing. Maybe there is an issue with capability or motivation. And there are many other different reasons on why your performance may not be at the level that you delight your stakeholders. And then if you figure out that, okay, you know what, it's a mismatch. Yeah. Round hole, square peg, then it's one story. Then your approach will be, hey, you know what? I'm unable to create that value because my skill set, my mindset. Yeah. If that's the situation, then your messaging should be, hey, I need to get out of this role. Now I need to be put in a context that is winning for me. Okay. If you see that the issue is capability, let's say that you're missing critical skills to perform that role, then what you might be asking for is training and development. If you see that you're in a context where there is a damaged relationship with a key stakeholder that is beyond repair, then definitely that's another reason to say, hey, I need to get out.
Perfect. And to do that, I think, so typically we're presenting proof points about our performance, and we're going to talk about what we're capable of in the future. In this case where our performance today may be challenged, and perhaps that means that it's is just average. We don't stand out. Perhaps it means that there's some sort of disconnect. We're going to have to lean into the conversation on potential. My potential, and you need proof points for that, my potential is not being realized in this role. Therefore, I'm looking to, etc.
You mentioned proof points for potential. That is very important. How do you prove that you're capable of performance in the future? Smart bosses know that key characteristics of potential are, for example, demonstrating that you're able to think broadly and see connections where others don't. You are likely to have more potential if you can interact with very diverse groups of people, motivate and inspire them, that you deliver results against all odds. You are a constant tinkerer, always trying new things and new approaches, and that you are likely to have more potential when you have a deep insight into yourself and you have a good sense of awareness of how your behaviors impact others. So if you think through those points and you're able to bring examples of when you have successfully delivered that, that will help your manager to go into those talent review conversations with those stories and examples. And it's very likely that they will be asked for those stories and examples to demonstrate and to prove that you have that future potential.
And I like that thought very much. What are the 3, 4, 5 things, you know, capabilities, you might call them, that a boss is looking for in somebody they want to advance? Maybe it's this ability to deal with complexity or the ability to learn quickly, and having those examples and helping your boss join the dots between that example and a proof point of, you know, I know that in order to advance successfully, I'm going to need to deal with greater complexity than I do today. Here are a couple of examples of where I've encountered a lot of complexity and I've successfully been able to work through it, make things straightforward for others, advance our strategy, etc. So helping to join the dots between, I know you're looking for this in people that do big jobs successfully, and here's an example of where I've done that. Yeah. I know that you're looking for people who can learn and think on their feet, you know. A recent example I'd like to talk to about that is, you know, this incident happened. And I think having a couple of those stories, to your point, helps if a leader is asked for evidence. Come on, you think Sergey's high potential, what makes you say that? So it helps the leader have that argument, helps convince them in the first place. Then they can share it to help convince others. So there's a kind of a sequential order there that may be important. But in choosing those stories, to the extent to which you can choose them in ways that perhaps evoke emotion or, you know, other positive feelings, you can give yourself an even different edge. Lots of people solve problems, but if you can solve the problem that, you know, people related to, that everybody experienced, or that had been around for a long time that people didn't think was solvable, if you can evoke emotion in the listener through that narrative, you're also going to have more than just the weight of the thing that you actually did. You'll have an emotional plus as well. That's a long-winded way of saying if you have a number of stories, you know, be thoughtful about the ones that you choose.
I like that thought. Indeed, people remember stories much better than facts and numbers, and that sticks with you. And that helps you build your brand.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a great reminder. You know, as you think about how do you speak to your proof points, setting up the situation so people know what you were dealing with. That's perhaps the emotional part. You know, there was this significant problem. Stakeholders were unhappy. It was damaging our reputation. The situation, obviously what you did, your success, but there's perhaps in describing the success, a role for some of that quantitative evidence, because that helps signal scale. I did it twice as quickly then. My results tripled the size of. It helps leaders scale. And in doing that, they're actually scaling your potential.
Yeah. So you need to be asking yourself, what do I want to be known for?
Oh, I love that. I love that position.
What do I want to be known for, and what are the greatest stories and example to prove that? Some that are memorable, stories about things that you did, that you were personally accountable for, stories of situations where others would have failed, but you succeeded. We call them wow stories.
Yeah, we do.
So,
we love it. We love a good wow story. What if I don't have many wow stories? What if my job hasn't, you know, I've been in the accounts team, I've been in the service center, and I don't have a lot of wow stories. Anything I can do?
If you don't have many wow stories...
Well, maybe I'm just new in my career, by the way.
Yeah, so you don't have wow stories professionally, but then you can think about wow stories personally.
Oh, I love that.
You might be a parent of three children, and they all go to bed before 8 in the evening. Oh my God, that's a wow story. How do you... you must be very good, a very, very perceptive person who knows how to influence others. Or you might coach your local school sports team. So you have those abilities to spot potential in others, yeah, to motivate and set goals, you know, beyond what people are capable for. Or maybe you won a prize in the student, yeah, competition for being best in biology, maths, science, history, whatever. So your wow stories don't necessarily need to come from work. Why? Because our competencies and skills, they're not tied to our workplace. We are holistic human beings. So think broader. Think broader, and don't be afraid to share stories that are from outside of the workplace, because that also makes you more personable, more, yeah, authentic. And coming back to that concept of your personal brand, authentic personal brands are much more valuable because they relate better. They tap into our natural needs to connect and to be affiliated with others.
Building on that, I'm going to look for my proof points. I'm going to look for them professionally and try and identify those wow stories. I may dip in to some personal proof points that show that I'm the sort of person that can deliver against the odds. Remember, this is in the context of, you know, potential. What are the skills that I've got that you could leverage in bigger or more complex roles? If you're still perhaps light on that area, or even if you're not, you may need to lean into, okay, I remember we said potential. It's this combination of able to and willing to. You may need to lean into the willing to. And there's nothing more engaging than someone else's enthusiasm, somebody else's, you know, excitement. So you may need to spend more time, and I want to call this kind of making the promise. What would I be willing to do? How committed will I be to perform? And you would do that by signaling things like your interest. Go to the trouble. Don't go in and say, I want to be a director, and not having spent a moment figuring out what the current directors are doing. I want to work in this different division, or I'm interested in a move to a different place, and not have thought deeply about how could you prove that you are motivated to do that. Well, you would have checked it out. You would have had conversations with people. You will have investigated. You will have done your desk research. So show your understanding of the trade-offs that you'd need to make. You know, I know that if I take this role, I will need to travel, and that some of that occurs over weekends. I've been thoughtful about that. I've discussed that at home. We're fully aligned. We're prepared to do that. So just show that you have been thoughtful about what you're asking for, and that you will make the decisions, you'll make the effort, you'll have the motivation to be successful when you get there. So we may not always have every proof point we'd like on, are we able to? And if we don't, we're going to lean into the, are we willing to? By really showing that we've done our homework, and we're not only saying, we don't just have the rhetoric, oh, I'm willing to do what it takes to be a VP. Instead, I'm demonstrating that I know exactly what that means. I've spoken to people, I've done my research, I've had the discussions at home, I've figured out how I'm going to organize stuff. You know, show that you've put that effort in.
So do your homework. I love that.
And that doesn't sound very exciting, but you know what? There's no substitute for preparation, right?
So you figure out who you are, what you want, how you want to get there. You've thought about proof points of your performance and potential. You've packaged them in the stories to share with your boss and others. You've thought about potential options and you've done your homework and researching those and thinking how open you are for all the variety of assignments and projects mm-hmm. that are there. And you've had that great conversation with your boss before she goes into talent review. But what if she doesn't? Many talent reviews happen at more senior levels. Yeah. And what if your boss isn't in the talent review, but her boss is?
So a great question. And let's assume for the purpose of this that you haven't, in your culture or in the way that things are done, you haven't been able to have the conversation with the more senior person.
Right.
So really now what you're relying on is your boss doing that heavy lifting on your behalf with others. So I'm going to suggest something not very radical perhaps, but maybe something we would forget. Why wouldn't you ask them? I know that, Sergey, you won't be in the review. The review will actually happen with, you know, Mary. How are we best to make sure Mary knows my background and is able to talk about my aspirations? Is there something I can give you that would help Mary do that? Is there a conversation I should have with Mary? Is that, I mean, I just think make that part of your discussion. I was even thinking of things like starting with, you know, if it is a typical enterprise approach, they have some sort of grading system for talent reviews. You know, you've got growth potential or you're a key talent or, you know, asking them, you know, how will you rate me? Asking them, do you think that that's how Mary will also see me? Asking permission to come back, post the talent review to discuss the feedback when Mary spoke about the fact that we believed I was key talent. I just think maybe trying to engage in a conversation that anticipates the process
mm-hmm.
and asks questions, how can I help you guide the process in line with the conversation with you? I mean, I think there's a lot of power in asking people what their segment is, what is the talent segment, and do you think that others agree with that?
I think that's very powerful. That fosters a culture of transparency. And I hope that in the organization where you are, there is that level of transparency that allows bosses to share the talent segment or the box placement where you are, because that gives you the information you need to do your career planning. Knowing where you stand empowers you to make your own decisions. I think it's a very mature approach.
Yeah. And it's you're a little bit vulnerable, you know, and it puts pressure on the boss. So do it sensitively, knowing that it can be hard for them, particularly if they don't see perhaps the potential that you do. But to your point on maturity and transparency, Sergey, you are better off knowing, because it's your career and you want to make great decisions, and hanging around because everybody's smiling and thinking, you know, that things are okay when they're not. It costs you time.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things we think is important about careers is you've got time and you've got to use it strategically. Sitting there for 2 years on a job that's going to take you nowhere is not a strategic use of your time. So let's agree that thinking about the power that is inherent in questions about how do you see me? Does my view align with yours? What talent segment would that put me in this company? Do you think that others that will represent me know enough about me to justify that segment? Those sorts of questions asked well can be very, very powerful. Do make it easy for the boss. This is a hard process for them because they don't get to necessarily control it either. You can help them by saying things like, I understand that you won't necessarily be the decision maker if that happens to be the case. I understand that this is how I'm seen now, but that it is always able to change depending on my performance and the performance of others. It's a relative, you know, make it easy to have a mature conversation by signaling your own maturity about understanding how careers work and how company investments work. You know, I understand that places on this program are limited and this is competitive. What do you think my chances are of?
That is such a great suggestion, Angela. It indeed shows your maturity. It also shows your humanity, understanding, relatedness. Because sometimes managers go into those conversations, they arrive at a conclusion where you would stand on performance and potential. And then at a high level of review, that gets overturned.
Yeah.
And your boss doesn't get to be there. And then they only get, you know, a number or a decision, and they need to communicate the decision back to you.
And they need to feel like they're supporting the enterprise and they're a little bit between a rock and a hard place. One way of helping the boss is also to signal your openness to the thing that you haven't discussed. So whether it's in the context of what investments that might look like, what segmentation you might be in, but being prepared to say, look, this is my view. I've shared my view. I want to share it clearly. I've spent time being very thoughtful, very deliberate, but I also understand that you and your colleagues will know things that I don't know, will see opportunities that I don't see, may look at me differently. So I am also open to the unexpected, a job that perhaps is not on my current plan, but I would be open to any conversation, or, you know, you see me as more suited here. I may disagree, but I'd be open to the conversation. So I've not perhaps worded that as well as I might, but signaling that you are open to the unexpected does two things. For your leader, it takes a little bit of pressure off if the decision comes back differently than the one that you might have aligned on. But also, opportunity seeker, multiply your opportunities. Maybe there is something you missed that could be really, really cool. And one very positive manifestation of that is that our leaders, particularly if they're great mentors to us, if they're good supporters of us, sometimes see more in us than we do. So we may go in there with good specificity and they may actually see more for us, or different for us, that we wouldn't even imagine we'd be capable of. So let's stay open to the unexpected.
I think that's a great way to finish this episode. Be open to the unexpected. Know where you're going and be very clear on what you want and who you are and what you're bringing to the table. But also be open to the unexpected and remember that your boss is a human being. So help her a little bit.
I love that.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening in. Remember that small changes can lead to big impact if you find the leverage point. So keep asking yourself, what's my leverage point?
To continue the conversation, share this episode on social media like LinkedIn or Facebook with a comment or a question to the wider community, and give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts while you're at it. Until next time.